So let's turn to our Bibles. We're just going to have a short reflection on God's words today. And in fact, what I want to do is just recap a little bit on what I shared last week. And then someone's going to share a short testimony for us. So just to recap a few weeks, we're in that period of time, those 40 days between Jesus's resurrection and his ascension, and then 10 days later, Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's a time of preparation. It's a time for counting the Omer, for counting up. It's a time of excitement, anticipation and preparation for what God has in store. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, Luke tells us that after the resurrection from the dead, Jesus appeared to his disciples for those 40 days. And during those 40 days, he did two things. Firstly, he convinced them that he truly had risen from the dead, as we have just sung. He really was alive. And secondly, he had taught them about the kingdom of God. The disciples, as I mentioned last week, were expecting Jesus at this point to establish his kingdom. He'd spoken to them about it a lot, and he had spoken about the imminent coming of the Holy Spirit, which was evidence that the kingdom itself was imminent. And so they asked in verse 6, is now the time that you are going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They had in mind, of course, a kingdom along the lines of Old Testament Israel. But Jesus's kingdom is of heaven. And Jesus did indeed establish his kingdom, as we thought about last week. The ascension, which Luke writes about in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, is about Jesus's coronation as king, about Jesus ascending to the throne of God to be seated at the right hand of God on David's throne, which was promised to be an eternal throne. We read Daniel chapter 7 last week for that incredible description of what was going on at Jesus's ascension. And then we're going to think about the ascension a little bit more next week. Chris Justice is going to join us, and we're going to think about ascension next Sunday. But last week I suggested that Pentecost, with the coming of the Holy Spirit in wind and fire, was the moment that God filled the new temple and anointed the new priesthood. The New Testament explains that the temple, the dwelling place of God, the Holy Spirit, is no longer a physical structure limited to a geographical location with a tribal priesthood and a nationalistic focus, but that God had made us, the disciples of Jesus, the followers of Jesus, into a spiritual temple and a spiritual priesthood. The Apostle Peter wrote some incredibly powerful things to Christians who had been scattered throughout Asia Minor. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, he wrote, "As you come to him, the living stone, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood." And then a few verses later, he says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who belong to God, so that you may declare the praises of him who brought you out of darkness into his wonderful light." And the Apostle Paul, he wrote something similar to the Christians in Ephesus. In chapter 2, verse 19, he says, "In Christ, the whole structure, the church, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit. Some amazing things written to the early church. You know, I'm always grateful when people really engage with these studies of Scripture. We are not just to be hearers of God's word, but we are to be people who put God's word into practice. We are to be people who apply God's word to our lives, to allow it to challenge us, and with the Holy Spirit's help, to change us. And we know that in 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, Paul writes, all Scripture, the Bible, is God-breathed and is useful for teaching the truth, rebuking error, correcting faults, and giving instruction for right living. So we must be very careful what we do with God's word, having studied it. And after last Sunday morning gathering, when I'd spoken about this this whole thing about the Spirit coming at Pentecost to fill the new temple and to anoint the new priesthood, I had a number of really helpful conversations with people who were wrestling with God's word, who were wrestling with this concept that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God should live in us, and that we have been made, you and I, have been made a royal priesthood, God's representatives in the world. One person that wanted to reflect a little bit more on it sent me a text. And in their text, they said to me, the truth that we are the temple and that Jesus is in us has such ramifications. And then they said, most of this stuff remains theory for most of us. But if we really believed it and lived it, so much would change for the good. And I agree with that. I wonder if that's true. I wonder if this truth that we looked at last week, the truth out of God's word, that we are the new temple, we are the house for the dwelling place of the holy God, the Holy Spirit, and that we are a new priesthood. I wonder if this truth, how deep it goes into our lives, or does it, as the person who sent me the text suggests, just remain a theory, something that we believe, but it doesn't really impact our lives. It doesn't really change how I am, who I am, what I do. I also had a lovely conversation with Nina, and she rang me. I'd only just literally turned my computer off and she rang. She was on the phone, and I was so grateful for it, that Nina was willing to be open about her own situation. She spoke of a sense of unworthiness and where it came from and how it impacts and hinders her life. And I asked if she would be willing to share with us this morning, because I think her testimony could help a number of us. You see, because we can't just be hearers of God's word. If God's word is true, then we need to allow it to sink very deeply, not just into our thinking, but into our lives, into our hearts, into our spirit. And we need to allow it to change us into the kind of people that God wants us to be. And this is what Nina was wrestling with. And Nina, it's lovely to see you this morning. Thank you for joining us again, and for being willing to just share something of yourself. We do appreciate it. And I pray that as you share your story and your struggle that it will impact others. I'm sure it will. So Nina, thank you for being willing to share. We look forward to hearing what you have to share.
Yes, I hope I get it out.